Welcome to SoxCast episode 173. We don't give a single ounce of ass.
That's such a high number.
About this country. You're going to want to stick around for this one, folks, because this is the one where we finally get our shit together. You're going to be proud of us. You're going to be looking at us like you would look at your favorite horse girl when she wins the Artie McKinnon. You're going to be so proud of us. I'm keeping things timely. Look, it's popular in our server right now. I'm pandering to the crowd, okay? As a podcast host, there are certain things I have to do. Like, I have to be a respected creator of Atlas content, and then I need to go on and do paid promo for the Persona 5 gacha and not mention anything about the gacha and piss off my entire fan base.
This is all, I don't know what this, is referencing.
That's a very specific thing, but it happened. Yeah. It happened to somebody that I follow. They did a promotion for, they did a big old, just a big old glazing promo for the Persona 5 gacha. Did not mention, they talked about it like it was like a mainline Persona game, like single player, like the story's so good and it's all the action and the battle system you love from Persona 5, and did not mention or show the gacha elements at all.
I saw that the other day on Steam. I was just like, hey, how come a new Persona 5 spinoff dropped and nobody's talking about it?
Oh.
Scroll, free to play. Oh.
Well, Paula, you may be right, because not only do I have the new microphone, but I also got the new Ethernet cord. So ideally, not only will I sound luscious to all of our listening audience.
Absolutely luscious.
Absolutely luscious, but also my audio shouldn't apparently
cut in and out randomly.
Are you kidding? A joke.
Okay, that's pretty funny.
That's what y'all told me. Is that the audio has been cutting in and out for a long time? I had a 6-year-old
Ethernet cord that was kind of broken on one side. I figured it was fine. The connector part had the thing that snaps it into place had broken off like 4 years ago, and it seemed to still work, so I kept going.
Like, it works enough because, you know, the internet buffers enough stuff where if you get like a little hiccup in your connection, it's not going to make videos start to
unless you're making a podcast.
Unless you're making a podcast and relying on real-time data to be arriving at another end.
So now we're good.
We're
professional. All is well. Yep. If anybody else has any complaints about my podcasting professional setup, let me know and I'll address it.
And he'll take it very personally.
Yeah, I miss Robot John already.
Yeah.
No, I'm right there in your ear, Rhett.
To my immediate virtual right, he's still confused about how anime girls make that heart gesture with their fingers. It's Rhett.
Oh, not even that. How do they make the heart pupils?
Yeah, that's real good.
That's advanced level.
That's advanced level anime girl hand gesturing that we're just like, I think that I would like to think that as a society, that's kind of like what we're trying to inch toward to be a better society anyway, that we could do things like that.
Yeah.
How you doing, Rhett? Do you feel very independent today?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Feeling real free?
Sure. I know, I give the best responses to these.
You really do. You're real good at just like rolling with the punches and keeping a bit going.
Yeah, you have a yes and.
Yeah. It puts the pressure's all on you, Polly. You've got a one. Okay, what's Rhett's one word response going to be? To my immediate virtual left, let the people know his wisdom. Fill the land with smoke. It's John Thayer.
I don't know about smoke, but I like that intro. That feels appropriate.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, it's kind of just like, you know, see you creeping through the smoke and then, you know,
drop a truth bomb.
You got like, it's there. Moon is illuminating you from the back. We see the glimmer in your glasses first and you step through the smoke and then you drop a truth bomb. John, drop a truth bomb right now. Hit him with one. Show him what you got. Hit him with your biggest truth bomb.
Gotcha games blow.
That bomb exploded.
That one just explodes. You could.
That's not just a non sequitur. That's my segment this time. But you know, I'm gonna be nice about it. We're gonna dig in.
Yeah. But I mean, that bomb did hit with like the strength of 16 9/11s.
Good. It's deserved. Let's just do it. Let's fucking go into
it. Let's go. Let's just get in. Get in there. Get your hands dirty. Reach in there.
It was like 4 weeks since the last podcast.
It's been a while.
I distinctly remember being on the podcast and being like, I'm having a lot of fun with X-Astris. I kind of want to play Arknights. And you know what? I'm not going to feel bad about it. I'm just going to jump in, do whatever I want. And that's how everyone should feel. If you want to play a phone game, you want to play anything, don't feel ashamed for what brings you visceral pleasure in this twisted hell world.
Yeah.
happy fourth. whatever makes you happy. But gacha games don't make me happy.
Really so, thought that this was going to be the time where maybe it'll stick. Maybe it'll finally grab you.
I was in the trenches, and I could visualize it. I could visualize logging in every day, playing for like 20 minutes, seeing my characters get stronger, get deeper into the story, getting really connected into it. And it just isn't in the cards, friends. I just don't believe it's there. But I feel like I have a deeper understanding now, because the deal is I've played. So last time I talked about X-Astris. I like that game a lot. It's a single player, $10 flat game that you buy on your phones only. Sorry. I know all of y'all. I know none of y'all can handle playing games on touchscreens because you're children.
I'm a baby.
Yep. So for everyone else, grow up, play games on a touchscreen. It's fine. Especially fucking RPGs. What's your problem?
Monument Valley. That's fine, right?
Oh.
I play Monument
Valley. That's actually funny because I just played the PC version of Monument Valley.
The idea of playing PC Monument Valley is so funny because that game's so like so nothing.
Well, it's also so touch controlled.
Yeah.
Feels great on phones. It's a great little toy on phones. But so I beat the rest of X-Astris. I like that game a lot. The story is very episodic. It like is kind of three small arcs. Across like 15 or so hours. The combo fighting is really cute. Basically, like you have a pool of like action points, basically, and you can put enemies in different states. Like you can juggle them or knock them down, and that affects how different moves affect them.
It's very kind of almost Xenoblade-ish in a way, where you do like, you know, stagger, stun, topple, launch.
It's like a fighting game.
Yeah.
It's meant to be like a fight. You build fighting game combos out of RPG moves. I've heard people compare it to Final Fantasy. I've heard people compare it to Final Fantasy 13 systems too. I don't have the context for that, but I've looked at footage and I think there's probably some overlap there. Mm-hmm. It's really cute. It's really fun to build like big stacked combos and deal like 80,000 damage in one turn. But a lot of the combos, like a lot of it kind of comes down to like you learn a combo and then you just kind of do it over and over. The game's not long and there aren't that many fights, so I didn't get tired of it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's that deep. I think it's cute and fun. It's fun to learn the combos and then you just kind of execute them and play the rest of the game.
Sure.
I'm not going to like try to sell people on X-Astris with the story, because it's mostly very in the background or the fighting, because I think it's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. But I just think that game has a fucking mood to it.
Sometimes like a game can just feel great and you like it. It tickles the right sensors for you. And you can even look at it in the way that you are looking at X-Astris and say, this isn't the greatest thing I've ever played, but it lights me up. It lights me up in the right ways. And I like games like that, where you've got like a thing that's very you.
Yeah. I think the last RPG that kind of made me feel this way was Alliance Alive.
Oh, wow.
I played that game through. I finished it. I was like, I can't really say this works all the way. I don't think this is, I think X-Astris is better than Alliance Alive, but they're both games where I play through the whole thing just kind of entranced because the mood of it was so strong. And with X Asterisk, it's like there are like hours long dungeons where you're just exploring these like big alien architectures, and it's mostly quiet. The synth music is great and very subdued. So it's just like the polar opposite of like Tales of Berseria. Tales of Berseria, you'll explore like the most beautiful RPG environment you've ever seen. You'll have been sucked into the life stream, and you're in tune with all of the life force on the planet. You're seeing your memories of your past lives reflected in the ether. And then in the background, Sakuraba is like, it's exactly the same fucking guitar trumpet noodling he does for everything.
Every track, dude.
There is no mood in Berseria. That is a ugly, aesthetically ugly game that still pulled me in just because the light novel was good.
Sure.
But it's light novel in terms of like, I feel like the base story there is strong. It feels like a bad adaptation of something I like. And then X Asterisk is just like completely in control. It feels like it's written by somebody that read a sci-fi book before.
Oh, good.
And I just liked it. The ending is a little bit sappy. It kind of soured me just a little bit. But besides that, I really liked it. And I played Arknights, which is by the same devs, mm-hmm. ostensibly. And it's like by far the most fun I've had playing a gacha game.
And you played Fate Go for a long time.
I played Fate Go on and almost entirely off for a long time.
Yeah.
Like I would dip in and I didn't understand any of the gacha systems. Yeah. So I would just like dip in and play through a 2-hour chunk of story, and whenever I hit a hard boss, I just burn the premium currency to restore all my guys.
Nice.
Because I'm like, oh, this probably doesn't matter that much. Like, what am I going to use this for? So you can kind of get through a lot of the story, but then you get to like Camelot, and then it's like, oh no, you would be doing that every single fight. Oh. You need to learn how to play this game.
Yeah, now you've got to actually play the video. I think every gacha has that, where you have this starting period where everything's just easy. It feels very breezy. Like you feel like your units are good because you're actually making progress. And then you finally hit the wall.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, now I've got to actually play the video game and engage with some systems that maybe I don't want to engage with.
Or if you pony up a little money, get some stronger units. A
little bit of money. I have never been walled by a gacha game by the quality of my units. I've only been walled by me being willing to put in the time to grind up the characters. You can buy more. You can buy like XP cards and X Astros, but like the big thing is just like you can buy more energy. But in both Fate Go and X Asterisk, I almost never was running out of energy just naturally playing the game because I've got a fucking job. Yeah! I can't play this game for 4 hours every single day. Fuckers.
That was like my breaking point with Star Rail was I liked it a lot. And then like, and I was getting the things that I wanted. But the problem is with Hoyo games is like, well, you get the thing you want, but the thing you want isn't good until you level it up. Uh-huh. And then you can't level it up because you didn't spend like the month prior every day grinding out materials to do it. So when I got like the second character that I wanted, Imbibitor Lunai Don Hung, I could only get him to like level 60. And it's like, well, he's not good in any of the content that I can play. He's just not good. So
fun.
Then I quit.
Yeah. Yeah, fun. The way to play these games is to. So here's my journey with Arknights. I started it up. I played through the first story chunk, and then instead of like letting myself be caught off guard like I was with Fate Go, I drilled down. I paid close attention to all the UI, and it did dole stuff out. Like it didn't unlock everything up front, but by about a week in, it had still unlocked enough stuff that I was really overwhelmed. So I spent 2 hours with the game up and the fan wiki up and a spreadsheet up. And I just closely looked over every UI element and said, what is that? Okay, this is just a bestiary of all the enemies in the game. It doesn't unlock anything. Put it aside. What is this? This is the roguelite mode that was added in 2024. It's you need to have elite level 2 units for it to really matter that much. I'm not there. I can get way further in the story before I worry about this. Okay.
So that's a fun way to play a video game.
Put this to the side. Okay, what's this option? Well, this is contingency contracts. This was added in 2022. It does this and this. It gives these rewards. You can probably put it aside. This is the time limited event. Don't worry about this. Put it to the side. This is the base. I need to build this up. Here's what Reddit says about how you optimally build up your base for early game.
Oh, no.
Take notes. All right. Make it. Put it in the spreadsheet. We're good. What are these five different currencies? What do these ones do? This is how I get this currency. Okay. Note this down. How am I supposed to play this game? Okay. Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, my God. All right. And I got to the end of the 2 hours and I realized, okay. Because also Arknights gets harder a lot faster than Fate Go.
Oh, right.
So I actually was needing to worry about grinding the units more early. And I was like at every step I was trying to play and grind up as much as I could. Cause my goal was basically, I want to use up all of my daily energy each day. And so I used up the energy leveling up. Arknights has auto battle. So instead of, with Fate Go, you know, if you want to grind up XP cards, if you want to do all the dailies, you are sitting there for 10 to 15 minutes.
Oh, good.
Doing or really probably like 20 to 30, just doing the exact same RPG fight with the same enemies and the same characters and the same starting conditions and the same resolution, like that you've already done, you know, 500 times. Just keep doing it. Do it every day. Arknights, you can't just press a button and then pretend that you've done it. You have to press a button and then it loads up the mission and then it auto-plays it using how you played it the last time.
Oh.
So you don't have to do it, and it's faster because you're not loading up the menu to make choices. Sure. But you can't, but you do have to watch it, and that does take 5 to 10 minutes. Wow. To not for each fight, but to like burn all my sanity.
Okay. Yeah.
It took like, really, it would be like to burn all my sanity doing dailies. It would be like 10 to 15 minutes. And I'd put my phone to the side and take my like morning shower while I did it.
It is very telling that like the thing where you've got to grind your face against the fucking pavement in these games is called sanity. It's like, yeah, I'm literally whittling away my sanity trying to do this.
I thought John was actually talking about his in real life.
No, sanity. No, the energy is called sanity.
Oh, my God.
Fun. It's so telling.
So I feel the big thing from my spreadsheeting was that I knew all of the content that was in the game when it launched and what was added.
Sure.
So I could kind of drill down and focus. What do I actually need to be focusing on to progress through like the launch content, which was chapter 0 through chapter 4. And I was doing it. I was playing it. I ascended all my characters to level 1 elites, and I leveled them up a bunch. I had a good balanced party of 12 operators. I got to some hard missions where I was slightly under or at the recommended level, and then I played and replayed them. And because the tactics fighting is actually pretty good and crunchy, sometimes I could actually squeak by even with underleveled characters, and it felt really good. The fighting here is much more fun than the fighting in Fate Go. And much more fun than the fighting in Honkai or Dragalia Lost, which are the other gotchas I've played a little bit of. So I was progressing the story until I hit like a big hard boss that was too hard for me at my current levels. And then I would be grinding resources, doing the dailies. As your characters get stronger, you get higher and higher levels of daily you could do instead. So like you can grind the level 2 EXP mission, but if you're strong enough, you can do the level 4 EXP mission, which gives you more XP per attempt. Mm-hmm. So as you get stronger, you can be getting more resources each day to make your characters even stronger.
Yeah.
I was building up the base, which requires money, and materials. So I was doing other dailies to get building materials.
And I was slowly building out the base. You basically, the level to which you can build out the base is limited by your story progression. So I maxed out the base each time and then continued doing the dailies to make my character stronger. And then every day you check in about twice a day, you collect all your materials from the base. And that lets you make your character stronger. You can recruit two new characters for free from like the low rarity pool every day. If you complete the daily missions every day, that gives you some resources, including premium currency. So I was doing checking in, spending all of my sanity, doing all the daily missions, doing all the weekly missions, upgrading my base, checking into the base, progressing the story as much as I can. And then I kind of was like, okay, I'm actually, for once, for the first time, I am playing one of these games the way it's meant to be played. I actually understand what it is asking of me. And I'm getting a good number go up buzz from seeing my characters get stronger. Mm-hmm. And then I woke up, I think like a week ago on like Saturday. No, it was, I guess it's been like 2 weeks now. I woke up on a Saturday morning and I was like, all right. And I set the auto battle to go for like six things. And I was like, I kind of wanted to check Blue Sky or whatnot, but it's fine. I'll just let that sit on my desk and have it auto battle for me. And I'll do all this thing. And I kind of was like, oh, this is stupid, isn't it?
Oh, man. Like when the realization finally hits.
Oh.
When you've reached your personal end of service with one of these
games. This sucks. I didn't realize.
Oh, you ran out of sanity.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. John reached his end of service with the game.
Yeah, so it gets harder faster than Fate Go, which is good because Fate Go, you can just play that VN for 50 hours without hitting a wall. And the VN is fucking garbage in Fate Go for a long time. Arknights, the VN also sucks, but it's also very short. The early chapters are very, very brief. So you hit those and you hit those walls much faster. Mm. So you're mostly cutting. Apparently, the later story gets much better. Just play it for 50 to 100 hours.
For, you know, 100 more hours, you'll be fine.
It's fine. And Endwalker's so worth it, guys. Gotta play it. It's so good. It's definitely that good. I definitely am not just fucking Stockholm syndromed by the 1,000 hours I put into this game.
Yeah.
It's much better than just a normal game you play for 20 hours and then stop.
Sure. Yeah, it's a forever game. It's a game that you like, but you can play it forever. Didn't you always want that as a kid?
So I want to drill in. I had fun with the idle game shit. I had fun with the clicker game shit. Mm-hmm. It feels good to see the characters get stronger. And the tactics game is good. And part of me thinks maybe the VN gets better later. Like there's a lot of strong roots there, and Fate Go, the VN did get better. Camelot was really good. Once it got back to Nasu, but the VN is like 10 to 20% of the experience. The tower defense is like 10 to 20% of the experience. Mm-hmm. Most of the game is the clicker and idle game shit. It's checking in every day and upgrading my base. And I got a negative comment on my when I wrote about it online, because someone said, "Ugh, fell into the typical newbie trap of thinking that Arknights is all about leveling up your characters and getting them stronger when you should be focusing on the strategy and on improving your base to improve the economy." And I'm like, "Dog, improving the base is grinding."
Yeah, that's that literally the point.
That is the idle game. That is a clicker game. So yeah, like there's a whole component of the game that's just like manage this base so it can more efficiently generate resources for you while you're not playing.
Yeah,
that's clicker game.
That's just cookie clicker.
I hate that my brain hears that and goes, huh.
Oh no.
Yeah, no,
I am not going to play Arknights.
But it does have cute anime girls, Rhett.
But I do understand that number going up appeal when you said clicker game and base building.
Feels that shit
feels good.
That shit is psychologically engineered to feel as good as it can.
That feeling when a number goes up.
Mm-hmm.
That's me.
I think I would respect Arknights, at least on some level. If it was just that, But here, this is the component that I think really makes me kind of think, oh, this whole sphere sucks. The clicker game is most of the experience, and the clicker game is the same between every fucking gotcha. It's the same game as Fate Go. The only difference is the words in the VN and that you do tower defense fights instead of RPG fights. The function that the RPG fights and the tower defense fights serve in the overall work, which is much larger, is exactly the same. Like, if you're playing a bunch of gacha games, the only parts that are different make up a tiny, tiny portion of the experience. Like, what? Just play normal games. I can just play strategy games. I can just play an actual, I can play a tower defense game. Yeah. I can play 13 Sentinels. Yeah,
play 13 Sentinels. That's got a real good story.
I knew it was dark when you said I could play Fire Emblem.
Yes. That's what this put me in. I don't respect these. I don't respect these games because they have the actual video game. The part that's interesting is a coat of paint on top of what they've discovered as like the most psychologically motivating and exploiting mechanism for getting people to play a phone game every day. For the point, of course, of getting people to spend a bunch of money on the gambling. I didn't even mention the gambling. Like, the gambling doesn't hook me. I'm immune to that, I'm very grateful for. Mm-hmm. Which is why it doesn't matter to them that I'm not playing it. It's just like the art is a coat of paint. Is like, you know, when you go to Vegas, there are so many slot machines everywhere. They're in the airport, they're in the hotels,
Yeah,
you get off the plane and there's slot machines in the lobby. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've been to Vegas. I remember that. It's just extremely funny just how immediate it is.
Uh-huh. And you look at them and you kind of realize like there are thousands of machines and they all have brightly colored animations. They all have different
themes and
themes, different stuff. But it's all the same thing.
Yep.
They calculated this is the best way to extract money from people by exploiting this weird loophole in people's brains. And now the only twist to it is like, what coat of paint we put on top of that?
Yeah.
So it's not that I have a moral objection. I mean, I do, but I don't think that really matters that much. Like, there's plenty of vices out there that are fun. But I just as a player, I don't want to play games where I'm getting 10 to 20% of it is the actual art.
Yeah.
I want a denser experience.
And in a game that's just literally a service game, that's never going to be the case. Like, these games are made for this one specific point, and no matter how good it may be, no matter how attached you may get to the things about it that you like, at the end of the day, they are all meant to keep you playing forever, because there's that chance that, you know, you're going to maybe want to throw a couple bucks in.
There's a chance that you max out your credit card on it. Yeah. It's very skeevy and also just like I kind of always looked at it from the outside and like dunked on it and whatnot. But I feel like this was what I needed was two straight weeks. I played this game constantly for two straight weeks,
you know, we talk about these things a lot because mm-hmm. like the gacha thing comes up in our server a lot. And I think that it's important to all right, look, if I'm going to like, it's the same reason that when I quit a game, I immediately go back to it because mm-hmm. I need to know what it is specifically about this that is not
jiving.
Why do
people like this?
Why do people like this? Exactly. So that, like, I think it's important, like, you know, this may be things that we've said before just over the course mm-hmm. of the years that we've been podcasting, but now we're putting it, like, front and center in its own little segment. This is, you know, you finally to be able to put it all together and be like, all right, I did it, I put in some time, I get it, mm-hmm. and I know why I don't like it now.
It's not just Fate Go, it's the format.
Yeah.
And, again, I think that everybody need the idle game is fun. And I think everybody needs some kind of like low intensity engagement in their life, something they can decompress to after work.
Yeah.
For me, that's, we watch YouTube while we eat dinner, like almost every night. Mm-hmm. We watch like 45 minutes or an hour of YouTube, watch a bunch of whatever. Like we'll watch Cathode Ray Dude dig into a telephone with Linux as the operating system for some reason, mm-hmm. or we'll watch videos about Smash Melee tournaments, like whatever like tickles our fancy. Sure. It's not,
no, it's whatever the algorithm tells you to watch.
The Rhett, we impeccably curate our our subscriptions. We are I'm a YouTube power user. That, and I don't think that's that shit is like okay. a high level of engagement. I don't think it's like I don't think that's any better than spending your time like doing dailies in a gacha game. I don't think it's better than watching a VTuber stream or watching a reality TV show. Everybody needs it. Whatever form it takes for you, that's fine. If it's gacha games, that's fine. Don't burn more money on it than you can afford, please.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really the money aspect that I have offense to. Like if it was just, because I don't give a shit about clicker games. Like, sure, make that number go up. It's when it's like, make that number go up with thousands of dollars.
Yeah, like, there's so many videos of people just dumping thousands of dollars to just, like, to, like, multi-limit break characters or certain, like, units or weapons in a game. It's like, oh, my God. And for, dude, this is going to be power crept in, like, a month.
Or the server shut down.
Or the server shut down, which is the ultimate end game here. And that's why I have a big problem. It's like nothing I ever do in these games. It's just like, this is never going to matter.
They're all like extremely intangible. They're all going to fall.
Yeah.
Like vanish before too long. Very few of them get like an offline version down the line. Yeah. You already don't own your games on Steam. But when you play a gacha game, you don't own that harder than almost anything else.
Yeah.
And that also is like kind of repulsive to me. I like RPGs, and you could argue that like a lot of RPG loops are essentially the same. Like if I'm leveling up to get stronger to beat a Megami Tensei boss, like is that really different from leveling up in Dragon Quest? Are the underlying psychological mechanisms essentially the same? Mm-hmm. I think you can argue that too. Like, but for RP, like single player RPGs, they fill the niche for me in a way that these just don't. Yeah. They don't align with the way that my brain is messed up.
They have a similar wrapper, but it's a pale imitation of what you're getting when you start playing these games a little more regularly and trying to like compare those two experiences. And like one is just intensely not as satisfying. Like I could grind 10 levels in a Megami Tensei game and feel like I got way more out of it than I did doing something similar in a gacha game.
I think the artistic like distinction between like Phantasy Star 4 and playing Arknights for 2 weeks and progressing through 2% of the content. Yeah. I don't think it's reasonable to consider those like the same thing.
Sure.
I've been yapping about
the ratio of art is way different.
That's the thing with like a lot of this stuff is like, what is the ratio between, you know, the stuff you're getting like real engagement out of versus the stuff that's kind of teasing you towards that real engagement. And I think in gacha games, the real video game, they want to spread that out as much as possible. It is like tiny little nuggets. You're digging through the tunnel and you get little teeny tiny diamonds every now and then just to kind of string you along.
Yeah.
And then you walk outside and there's just a pile of diamonds on the ground and it's all the Saga games are on the App Store. I started playing Saga Frontier and I was just like in tears, not literally in tears, but just, oh, I'm just playing Saga Frontier. This is so much fucking better. Oh my God. I'm so happy. Oh, God, yes, this is such a better number go up game.
Yeah. I'm playing a number go up game.
Yeah, tell us about it.
So we are on the gacha thing here, so I'll leapfrog from this for a moment.
And let's do it.
About a week ago, the very popular Japanese horse racing simulator Uma Musume Pretty Derby launched in the U.S. We got a global launch. It's been on the horizon for a long time. Umamusume has come up a lot on this podcast, but we mostly talked about the cartoons. We talked about horses crapping on the track.
Oh, my God. Those early mentions when I talked about season one of the anime is like the hardest we ever laughed at something.
Because, again, the thing I love about
it's incomprehensible,
about
this world.
When you stop to think for a second about Umamusume's world, it's the best thing ever. It's so absurd. And I think that that's ultimately why I like it. It's like, this is so utterly stupid. You have to appreciate how stupid it is. And it's just horse girls based on real race horses. And they actually stick so close to the actual racing history, it's insane. But that is this is a gacha game where you roll for horse girls, you get some horse girls, and you play what is essentially just a little training roguelite. And it's just a career. Every character has one. They have a set of goals that you can run through. They're like, oh, they want to place this place at least this high in this major race. So you spend all of that time, like every two turns qualifies as a month. And you take each girl through 3 years of her career. So it's like set.
Incredible.
Every playthrough is like 77 turns or so. And that's it. And those can last.
Interesting. I didn't actually realize that watching you.
Yeah. Like it's an interesting take on, because it's such a, there's nothing like this. I've never played a gacha like this because it's more of a simulation than it is an RPG. And all of these games tend to take the form of an RPG or an action game. This is a simulator where you build your girl's stats, you help her train, and then you take those stats and look at the races that you have coming up, and you build your stats towards those. Then you do the races and you just watch the races. You don't control the races. You just watch them. And
Horse Girl Princess Maker.
Yeah, there you go. That's really kind of the best way that I could explain this game. And I, having played it for a week now, I play it like once or twice a day. I'm not really seeing anything that's like, oh, you need to do all of this stuff daily. Come back and do this daily thing. Like there are like daily races that you can do, but it's literally like click the button, do race, just view the results. Okay, I won. Click button, view. You only get to do three of those a day. So,
my God, so it doesn't make you watch the race.
You don't have to, no. And even if you do have to watch the race, you can watch the race in like times 8 speed. So
cool. So, I just linked in the chat, but there's like horse racing games are like a very long tradition in Japan. Yeah. There's a bunch on Super Nintendo. I wonder how much overlap there is with this and how those play.
I would be interested in actually maybe doing the work to find out, because I would really like to see what systems are they pulling from?
What does this come from?
Because it's obviously, I don't think that they pulled this out of the air. But that's sort of the main crux in it, in that like you do each character's unique career. They have a long story that runs throughout that, on top of also having individual story modes per character, where each character has like a 10 or 12 chapter story that takes place in visual novel form. Then there's a main story that is also a visual novel. This game has a shit ton of story content.
Dope.
And so far, like, I've not given them any money for it, and I don't plan on it, because I think everything they want money for is just really bad. I think like the deals are awful. But I'm playing this game with just the fact that, I have a little collection of horse girls that I like. I've got mostly everybody I like. Like, I ended up getting lucky in that regard. I was like, I got my rice shower for free. I got TM Opera O, just, like, straight up. Like, all right, well, okay. So I get a bunch of characters, like, and my only goal is just, like, I just want to take every girl through her three-year career. That's all I want to do. Like, I'm not here to do anything else. Like, there are a lot of systems that encourage grinding. Like, there's this whole lineage system where when your girl finishes, That's a dumb stream reference where I talked before I.
Oh, I thought you were making a joke about her coming.
Yeah, I was, because that's how it happened on stream. Is like somebody asked me how the lineage system worked, and I was like, when your girl finishes.
Pause.
when her career's over, she gets like sparks, and these are like abilities that she can use to carry on to another horse girl, basically. So like when you start a career mode, you select your character and then you select two lineages to go from. So you can I want a speed spark from this one and like a stamina spark from this one, and then they will start with bonus skills, and then throughout their career, they will continue receiving little bonuses at certain points that are based on that lineage. And you can grind the shit out of that and like end up with like lineages that'll basically just let you power through anything. But that I'm not here for that. Like, because that, because the skill that you spark at the end is RNG. Like, I have had nothing but shit luck with it. I have raised a horse girl to maximum speed, and she literally sparked the worst possible stat in the game. So it's like, my effort, like, if I was, like, trying to raise a horse girl to breed down, it's like, well, that's not gonna work well. That's a terrible, like, even though I won, absolutely trash. So
what am I gonna do with this dropkick ability?
So good. That's another thing. Is that the game is goddamn charming. They've really.
The art's so cute.
They've knocked it out of the park with these character designs. There's so much expression. Like the visual novel portions aren't just still images. It's like the 3D. Mm-hmm. It's all the 3D models, like animating, like their ears and tails are all uniquely animated to suit the character and her various attitudes and moods and stuff. And it's just like. It's a very cool and cute and precious thing to look at. So it's just like, I don't know, like for like 20 or 30 minutes a day, once or twice, I guess, depending on if I want to do one or two career modes a day. Yeah, I get to enjoy this little blast of cuteness while trying to like just win some careers with the girls that I like. And then like, you know, reliving or not even just reliving, but just like seeing like where some of the anime stories came from and seeing those in a bit more of an expanded form, because they're doing it in a visual novel form and they can kind of, you know, you don't have the 23 minute time limit to pull off things like the rice shower story, which gets a lot more in depth in the game. It gets a lot more mean and sad too.
Oh no.
Ooh.
Game actually almost made me cry at work. There's a girl who, like, her big dream is she just wants to run in any big race someday. Like, that's her dream. It's like, it'll be so fun to just do that. So you start taking her through her career, and she starts winning. She starts getting good. So you finally arrive at the big race that she wanted to be in, but it is a race that is totally out of her specifications. This is not what she trained for. So she gets bulldozed. You can win it, but it's basically scripted for you to lose. And you get backstage and she's just jumping around. It's like, I'm so happy. I'm just happy that I got to do this. And then it's just like you see tears begin to well up in her eyes and she sobs quietly in frustration. It's like, oh, my God, no.
Oh, it's the good shit.
And it just like it caught me so off guard. It's like, oh, I think I fell in love with this game. It's too damn good. So I can't speak to it being, like, gross because I'm not engaging with, like, the money stuff at all. Like, I'm just engaging with, like, the little roguelite that I can pop up and I do, you know, decently well in. I think I've kind of, like, put together in my mind how these systems work. I know how to put together a fairly good run. I've won a good number of careers. So I just think that they've done a really good job with like whatever this little thing is. It's just so unique in the gacha sphere, I think, that maybe if you don't like what things like RPGs are doing, this might hit a little different.
Boy, Polly, you're really shitting all over my thesis about all these games being the same, huh? I mean, you're just kind of taking my little thesis there and being like, let's just take that and throw that down the old toilet, John. You're actually an idiot.
Does one game completely knock that thesis down? If your thesis is knocked down by one game, then your thesis was never strong to begin with. That's how I think of it.
It's strong enough to at least be supported by two games.
Fake Arknights. So that's something.
Okay. See, like, I've got game on my side here.
I'm looking at it the other way. Is John is correct on 99.9% of gacha games, but then there's Uma Musume, which is weird.
I think Uma Musume is an outlier. Like, it's the most fun that I like. It is a game that, like, I'm thinking about it, and it's just like, I could probably see myself continuing to play this for a while. And again, it's not something that I'm going to. Like, I've set the goal for myself. All I want to do is just, I want to experience the story because I think it's cute. I want to take all the girls that I like and complete their careers. That's just all I want to do. Like, there's not, like, me trying to, like, oh, I need to plan for Silver Wolf because she's coming out in 3 weeks, or, oh, I need to get materials for Don Hong. It's like, no, like, because the game also has a generous borrowing system where it's just like, okay, if all of my lineages suck, I can at least borrow one. And I can also borrow a support card to help me out. And it's just like, all right, that's usually been enough to get me across the finish line, or at least close to it, to where I didn't feel like, okay, I was completely walled there because, you know, the gacha system fucked me over, or because, like, I didn't level up the potentials of my girls enough. Like, I don't really think that this game is doing that yet. There's a chance that it could down the line, because obviously this is a 5-year-old game and it's got 5 years of content that's going to start flooding in, and who knows what the rest of that's going to do. But as it is right now, for what Uma Musume is, I think it's really fun and cool and interesting, and it doesn't feel too terribly shitty to me yet.
I think that's really nice, Polly. I will say, if we had had a podcast when I was about a week into Arknights, I think I could have made a pretty compelling argument on its behalf. I was having a real good time.
Well, this might have been a real kumbaya moment for gacha games, huh?
Oh my god, thank god.
Kind of picking up my fingernails, looking like, let's see where you're at in the couple. Let's see how this continues treating. This is where you're at right now. I'm not honeymoon. Rooting for it this to be bad.
This is the honeymoon era. This is the honeymoon era of the gacha game. Like,
I'm rooting for this one to be good and special. Yeah. I'm rooting for that. But I
want this to be good because it's so stupid. Like, I love this. I genuinely love the world a whole lot, and I'm fine just enjoying that in anime form if I have to going forward. Like, if I have to drop this game, Uma Musume isn't gone. I still gotta watch Cinderella Gray, which is apparently, like, again, one of the better things that they're doing. So
it starts really strong.
I'm ready.
Like, immediately.
So it's fine. Like, Uma Musume ain't going anywhere. But as far as I know, the game right now, we're on the honeymoon. We're on the honeymoon phase.
That's worth documenting.
Yeah.
We're in Polly's career mode right now.
We're in my career mode. Yeah, my next.
Got a list of goals. We're going to check them off.
There you go.
Before the race where you break your leg.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Blue.
Come on, funniest joke ever.
Has break your leg and getting shot in the head after you get break your leg on the race, has that one been burned to death?
God, they've all just, dude, it's in watching streams of this game is insufferable. Talking to people about this game can be insufferable because literally the second a character doesn't win a race, glue factory, it's the oh my god, shut
I'm
up.
Just saying, I'm just saying, has specifically, because that's another horse race joke, is the brick that was shot in the head. I'm just saying that's also a one that
John, you want to make sure
gets plenty of love.
Hey, you could be like the one time I went to a horse race and saw a horse die of cardiac arrest on the track. Good stuff. Real funny.
Don, horse racing is dark.
It's awful. It's pretty terrible. And this game is kind of romanticizing it.
Yeah, right.
One of the characters in season one did go through the break leg, get shot during the race arc in real life. So we've made that joke a long time ago.
That is one of my favorite scenes in season one, is where the girl goes down and, like, her leg's fucked up, and the trainer's like,
you could have died. When a girl falls in a race, she could die.
It's so deadly serious. And then the next scene, you know, characters are just eating a bunch of carrots and getting fat.
No, and then they send her to America and you never see her again.
Yeah, that's their way of trying to tell you that Silence Suzuka never raced again. She just went to America to race.
They went to it. Oh, yeah, that's a great way of saying a character went to heaven, is that they went to America.
Happy 4th.
What did that poor girl do to deserve that?
What did it?
That horse went to hell when it died.
Yep.
Because it went to America.
It's because she always wanted to run alone at the front. She was greedy. It's one of the seven deadly sins.
Polly, I gotta say, this is making me want to have that Princess Maker arc.
I think Princess Maker is cool as shit.
I really want to play some Princess Maker. Oh my god.
Princess Maker is fun. I really like those games. I think they're cute.
You mean actual Princess Maker?
Yeah. Actual Princess Maker games are really cute and fun.
Oh, because there's that game on Steam, Long Live the Queen, which is kind of a similar thing.
It's like it's an OEL. It's an original English language riff.
Yeah.
But this also does some stuff differently, as I understand it.
Yeah.
I want to. There's the horse racing appeal, and there is a long lineage of horse racing sims, which is funny. And then there's a raising your virtual daughter appeal, and there's a long lineage of those as well.
And then Uma Musume, splits the difference.
Which is really neat. You don't get that. You don't get horse racing daughter sims.
Exactly. You gotta fill a niche, man.
Thanks for filling us in on your journey so far, Polly.
Yeah, I thought I would just jump on that since you were already talking. Gotcha. I wasn't trying to dispute you because again, I think these games are terrible.
I actually came off my session feeling like angsty that I was so negative. Like I know we have a lot of friends that enjoy these things. Sure. I don't want
to. No, I never want anybody to think that me shit talking a thing is me shit talking you. Like that's not
or even like.
Oh, you even like shit talking,
or even shit talking like something being like an ugly institution.
Sure,
like we can talk about like idols or Hololive or whatnot being an ugly corp or an ugly institution, but and still, people can still enjoy
that
content.
Catching strays.
Yeah, well, I don't like VTuber streams either. Right? I think it's nice that we kind of covered both a wide spectrum here.
I think that there were two sides. I know we kind of ate up a lot of time here and I'll keep my segment brief after that.
I did hear one thing about Uma Musume. Someone goes, oh yeah, the only money I'm spending on it is the daily discounted single pull, and I'm like,
oh, there's
you're just spending money every single day.
You're literally spending money every day. That seems like a bad idea.
Is that a thing you've seen? Like,
there is a 1500 pull that you can get, which is like $9.
Oh,
and you get 10 pulls.
That's much more than
you get 10 pulls on it.
Oh, I wonder.
That's if it's like $4,000 a year.
Yeah.
Well, the game just came out, so they haven't spent that much.
I know, but that's what happened. If you keep doing that,
it may
that's
be
a lot of money.
That,
you gotta have a budget, dog.
It may be something that I'm missing because, again, I only go to the support banner stuff just because, I get free pulls a day because they're giving you free single pulls right now. I don't look at. I've literally only looked at the carrot shop once to see what the rates are.
Is it literally the carrot shop?
Yeah, it's spelled C-A-R-A-T, but they are prismatically colored carrots.
Truly,
I bet they're real
the one
shiny.
Game that's actually
they're
a
real
carrot
shiny,
on stick.
Dude. They are so shiny, and those tickets when you buy them, they are so glowy. It looks so good, and it's so satisfying.
I hate these fucking games.
Yeah, they've just nailed that slot machine. Oh, just pull it, man. Just pull it.
Oh, the animations for gacha games are insane.
Oh, the Dark Knights one was really good.
Oh, they're so good in Uma Musume too. Go look up Rice Shower's summon animation. When you pull her, it's so freaking insane. It's like, yeah, okay. But I got her for free because you get a free star of your choice when you start
the game. Does the same thing.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Rango does the same thing too. All these games are the same.
Everybody's like, you need Taiki Shuttle because she's meta. It's like, nah, dog. I'm taking my moody little scrunkly. It's gonna be hell getting her to finish because
my Blorbo horse,
my little Blorbo horse, and she's so hard to manage because she gets so moody. So you've got to keep so you've got to take turns to just like, here, let's go do something fun. Let's put you in a better mood.
Oh my god. Oh, I want to play Princess Maker so bad.
Do it! Do it! Princess Maker's fun!
Princess Maker is fun. I own the remake of the first one on Steam.
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, 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 yeah. Cool, cool.
I can just jump in any second. I can be Princess Maker.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Thank you, guys. 30 seconds after the podcast, I'm Princess Makering.
John, did you want to?
No, I'm Soccer Frontiering.
Did you have anything else you wanted to run over?
No.
Okay.
Throw it over.
Well, I will kind of do a quick rundown of the things that I did, because I'm just kind of finishing a couple of things up here that we've already talked about.
Let me say one thing.
Sure.
Megami Tensei 2 fucking fried my balls.
Oh, God. Yeah. I've never seen balls fried harder than John's got fried. God. That was like, every time you would post about that game in either the Discord or talking to us, it was like, oh my God, this just sounds so unsatisfying in a lot of ways.
The first half's good, but boy, howdy, this is back out for really.
Especially
like
running into those walls where it's just like, oh, now I've got to grind for 7 hours. I'm finishing a saga. I finished a saga.
It was a saga?
It was only a 3-episode saga, but I did finish Metaphor ReFantazio.
That's not the saga I was thinking of.
That's not the saga you were. This is as far away from saga as you could be. Like, this is just no, I could throw this game on and know what I'm doing in the first 10
damning
minutes. Whereas a saga game, I've got to be a dementia patient. So,
can't believe you're coming back. It's 2025, Polly. Saga is cool now.
It really
grow
is.
Grow up.
Look, saga is cool now, and I couldn't be happier. Like, that I'm literally seeing, like, game of the year lists from major publications that are listing, you know, a saga game as their RPG of the year. Look, nobody's happier for saga success than me, but I'm still gonna make fun of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 10-year-old jokes. Christ.
Playing chess with a dementia patient.
The world's left y'all behind.
But
continue.
I finished Metaphor ReFantazio. I talked at length about everything I liked about that game, and I think that the last month really dragged, because like I was already at a point where I felt like I think I'm good for the final dungeon, but they don't let you do the final dungeon until the final day of the game. So you've got to just like fill your time and just, all right, here's a bunch of side quests I can do to take up my time, because I don't want to go in there being super underleveled, because it's like I could be making a big mistake if I just sleep these last 21 days away. I could really screw myself here.
That's how I beat my only Atelier game.
Yeah.
I got, like,
just, you slept the last
I slept the last 6 months. But, that worked. Continue.
I wasn't sure if it would have worked for this game. So I did do my due diligence. I did do all the side quests. I ended up wrapping up all most of the character stories. I don't think I got all of them finished, but I ended up liking pretty much all of them. They all ended up landing really, really good. Final leg of the game, final dungeon, final boss, final bits of the story. So good! The game actually lands everything that I wanted it to land. All of the promise that it had made in those first 20 hours of what it was trying to say thematically and what it was going for, it spends so much time making sure that all of its characters are thematically consistent or that they're at odds with the themes sometimes or giving you really interesting perspectives about how like different religions can like clash, but then, you know, finding ways to kind of like, well, there is a way to understand one another, and I think that it lands all of that stuff. It lands the stuff that it's saying politically. It's very much I think that this game is very much in the same vein as Xenoblade 3, where I think it's a very quietly angry game that is very angry. It's angry about the world we live in right now, and it's, you know, like, I like what it's saying about, like, the whole idea is that, like, you can't live in this utopia that you're trying to imagine where everybody's equal and, it, you know, everybody comes together for the common good. It's never going to exist. But I love it. But isn't it worth fighting for anyway? And I think the game does a spectacular job of landing on that without ever coming across as, like, preachy or like the game doesn't end on a super sappy ending where it's just like, oh, and then everybody got together. And I was like, no, there's still a lot of like resistance to this idea that like we can be a more equal people. There's still a lot of doubt that gets, you know, left on the table. Not that they, you know, don't know how to address it, but that's just realistically, you're not going to solve the world's problems with just one regime change, because one person alone cannot change what needs to be changed with the world. I think the game sticks that landing really well. And I think that the true sign of that, like, it stuck is that, like, I'm 3 weeks out from having beaten it, and I was like, I still feel just very happy with what I got. I still think that
good.
I like that game a lot. The combat stuff, like, still felt really good by the end. I don't think that any part of that fell apart. I think that, like, the final dungeon, the final bosses were all real beefy. Had to change my strategies a few times to make it work. I guess the game kind of kept ending when I felt like it maybe could have wrapped things up a little sooner.
Final dungeon version 2.0.exe.
More like final cutscene of like, we're talking in circles. You've said the same thing for 30 minutes. You've got to let me go, metaphor. You have to let me leave. That's my only real complaint, is that like the end, they kind of just keep saying the same things over and over. He's like, you can let me go now. You did it. You stuck it. You don't need to wallow in it.
Fantastic.
So yeah, metaphor is really good. As you know, this coming from somebody who does not like fantasy anything. Rhett mentioned an anime. I think it was the last time we were together.
No, this was in January, I think. You took a bit to get to it.
I took a bit to get to this one, but I did watch Orb on the Movements of the Earth.
Orb!
Oh my god. It's... I had my faith in anime completely shattered by Bang Dream Ave Musica, and I literally did not watch anime for 5 months. I watched Orb, and I'm so ready to give my heart back to anime again.
good.
It's right up there with Shinsekai Yori for me, and even in just in terms of like the way that it presents its themes and what it's saying and how important I think what it's saying is, has a villain that is one of the most terrifying villains I've seen in a show in a while.
He's excellent. So good.
He carries a lot of this show. He really does. You know how Oishi and Higurashi shows up and he's always got that friendly domo domo.
Domo domo.
This guy does that too, and it's 10 times more terrifying. Orb on the Movements of the Earth. If you have Netflix, you owe it to yourself. Go watch it. If you need to find other ways to watch it, do that too. But I'm just saying, like, this is... We can't let this one be unknown. Orb is very good. Like,
excellent.
Like, there is not a single moment in this show that is wasted. There is no downtime. Every single moment is spent moving things forward. So if you really want to see a very good story about theology versus science, go, yes, man, please. Go! It's so good.
Rhett. Extremely nerded.
I'll let you go now, Rhett. You can talk now.
It's just funny, just thinking back to when I had just watched it and was on the podcast, like, you guys, it's so good.
Yeah. I think, like, it was March when you mentioned this.
Oh, yeah. I realized it wasn't actually January, but yeah. I think I watched it, like, right when it finished airing.
Oh, my God. I'm ready to love anime again.
Blessed. That's awesome.
It's my turn. Okay. I think so. I'm also continuing a saga that I've mentioned a few times on the last podcasts. It's not Saga John. Oh, it's okay. Not Saga John.
Damn it. All right. Continue.
I continued playing Kirby Return to Dreamland Deluxe. Waiting for the follow up on, right?
The Kirby streak continues.
Kirby era.
So the history was that I played Forgotten Land and then I started Return to Dreamland Deluxe. And I don't remember where I left it on the last podcast. So I'll just say that I beat the main game And then beating the main game was just the beginning.
Third in the
Kirby game.
This is where Kirby begins.
I don't even know if it was a third in, because I've got a list of stuff I did after beating it, and it's kind of long. So you beat the game, and you unlock, in the original and this one, EX mode, which is just, it's harder mode. In this one, you have a 40% long health bar. Apparently, in the Wii version, it's 50%. They felt the need to make it a little tighter there.
Yeah. Couldn't hurt.
I think there's just more and bigger enemies all over the place. And a lot of the bosses are, like, dramatically souped up. That's kind of the main thing, is fighting EX versions of the bosses.
100%. Yeah, the bosses
are, like, those are definitely cool. The highlights. The thing I found, though, is that going from, like, the last stage of the main game to stage one in EX mode was still like a pretty significant difficulty drop.
Yes. It's not fun. It's not great to have.
Yeah. To okay. At least John is agreeing with that. It's like, it was like, this is maybe a little excessive replaying the entire game. Cause I don't think you're doing. Yeah.
I told you, I thought that they should let you just start on extra mode. I thought that would be much better.
I think there's parts of it that would definitely be annoyingly hard on a first playthrough, though. So it's probably
more so on your version, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But EX mode on the original just felt like kind of normal action game.
Yeah. So there's also some things, though, that they do to mitigate the difficulty, which brings me to my next topic, is the whole mini game collection in this game. I think I didn't look into this too much, but I think the original Kirby Return to Dream Land had like two mini games.
Yes, correct. They weren't good.
This one has like 10. There's a whole like extra hub you can go to that has them all laid out, and you just there's just a lot of fun, decent little mini games that I played for maybe like 20 to 30 minutes each. Get some items that you can bring into the main game, like healing items.
Did you not do that with the mini games in the original?
Yeah. So like some of them I recognize from Superstar, like Planet Crackers is in here. Samurai Kirby is in here. And then a bunch of them are obviously totally new, where it's like kind of a chessboard thing. You're flipping tiles to kind of knock the other players off. A lot of them are like designed around having four players, but I'm just fighting the CPU and then, you know, easy, normal, hard. There's achievements like stamps for every game. And once you've gotten 50 stamps across all of them, you can earn like the tomatoes, the full heal tomatoes, and bring those into the main game.
Bah.
Which is a little.
Don't eat any of that.
Used it, but the point was that EX mode was scary enough by saying you've got a 40% health bar and all the bosses are stronger. And I had just gotten my ass beat by the final boss. It took like five tries, so I was like, I might want to have this ready to go just in case.
The challenge rooms are so fucking good, right?
Yeah. Oh god, I forgot about those. Oh my god, yeah. I'll append my list of stuff I did after the main game.
The challenge runs are not mini games. They play as you play as Kirby and plow, like they're rooms built around specific powers, basically.
Yeah. And there's more of them in this version because there's more powers.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of the mini games. I got 70 out of 100 achievements. Whew. And apparently that's required if you want to get 100% completion on your save file. I am not that much of a psycho because I did.
That is not true. Mini games don't touch the 100% completion.
They do.
I'm not saying the Wii version is better or not. I think it's interesting to note the differences.
Yeah, I've seen people saying 100% in this one is kind of nuts because there's significantly more to it.
Now with the Wii version, you find all the doodads in the levels, the three doodads per level, and then you just get a medal in every challenge room. That's it. The arenas don't even count for the percent completion. Those are like a separate thing.
I'm pretty sure arena counts in this one, too.
All right.
Yeah, they make you do almost everything. The funny thing is that in the minigame hub, once you get 100, apparently it unlocks like true stamp collection. And there's like 20 more. And those don't count.
OK.
Like Kirby's nuts, because then you look on the Kirby wiki also is like four psychos by psychos.
Yes.
Where they're listing like
blessed.
They'll list things like this isn't required for 100% completion, but it is required to get track 496 in the sound test. I'm just like, oh my God.
I don't know what the true 100% sound test sounds like. Completely demonic.
I want that speed run, the 100% sound test speed run.
Because it's like everything plus, plus, plus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all ever played Kirby Air Ride, but the gist of that one is like, mm-hmm. it's sort of just the time trial mode and versus and a few, yeah. like the main game is very bare. In a way I kind of liked, but mm-hmm. all three of the main game modes have a board of like 100 achievements.
Oh, God.
And because there's no story, like that's the whole progression is just like, all right, get under this time for this level, mm-hmm. get unlock this, do this, we'll do this with this cart.
Yeah.
So that is in line with Kirby's history, I think.
Mm-hmm. But do people speed run that?
They absolutely do. I saw one through 100% Kirby Air Ride that was like 6 hours.
Oh God. Yeah. One of the things in this game is that in the true arena, the music will change for one fight depending on which character you're playing as.
Interesting.
So sound test run sounds insane. But anyways, mm-hmm. so I played a lot of the minigames, had fun with all of them, and then I moved on to the next thing. I was a little bored of EX mode by stage 3. I was like, this is just the same game again, but I'm playing more carefully. So I moved on to the big new thing they added in Deluxe, which is the Magalore Epilogue.
Yes!
It's a whole new short little campaign. It's not super long. I don't want to hype it up too much, but you play as the wizard dude from the main story, and he's got a completely different move set. He like hovers, he shoots, he's like, and the whole thing is that this is like a time attack, it's a score attack game.
Mm-hmm.
He has combo meter. When you shoot an enemy, you get a combo, and then like after a couple seconds, you lose the combo. So the whole goal of it is to run through the levels as fast as possible while keeping that combo up, like hitting enemies, like kind of milking them for points and moving on as quickly as
possible. That sounds really fun.
I know. I was like,
really fun.
I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This is so John-coded.
God damn it. Fuck. It's really cute that they just took this little side character that Kirby mm-hmm. helps out and like fleshes him out into this whole little extra campaign when he played such like a small role in the actual story.
John.
What?
Nothing.
I think it's cute. I just think it's cute, you know? Kirby's really committed to its fiction that way. I think it's nice.
It is definitely committed to its fiction to crazy levels.
Mm-hmm.
Also, so the reason they get you to do and engage with the score attack part is that you can upgrade him. And then he gets stupidly powerful by the end. And then right before the final boss, he like limit breaks. And it's like, oh, all these abilities that capped at 5 before, they can go to 7 now. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you could grind this for a while and just have like walking god of wizard power death by the end. Because some of the powers are like down up charge to shoot spikes left and right. And by the end, they're like covering the entire screen.
So weird for Magalore. That's crazy. Saying this, I mean, I guess that's Kirby. Is like you have these cute little characters that turn out to be really strong.
Yeah, they're
what a cool turn.
Like tap Y to shoot a fireball, hold Y to do a bigger fireball. You know, double tap up to do something else. It's just he's got a lot of abilities, and it is fun just like chaining the enemies together. And then my favorite one is like the dash that can dash through enemies, and then you upgrade it, and it's like now you can dash 3 times in a row, and then the second and third dashes can go in any direction. So it's like dash up, dash towards an enemy, dash up, and then dash back, and then start shooting them from the air again. It's like, it's interesting seeing the Kirby team finally get to like make an action game that you don't play as Kirby. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, what's going to be the most fun?
Oh.
Like moveset wise, because Kirby's movesets always kind of have specific rules to them.
Mm-hmm.
Even though like a lot of the weapons do get weirdly technical with their moves, like Kirby's kind of a fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have charge moves, but he does have like directional inputs.
God, I fucking love Kirby.
The bosses.
I'm so glad you jumped into this. Sicko mode, Kirby.
We're not there yet. We're not at
done. We're not actually yet. There yet, Polly. It's gonna get sicker.
Oh my god!
I was not ready.
So the bosses in the epilogue are based on a few of the main bosses from the main game, but they're like
they're more changed up than the EX versions. Mm. Like, they have totally different elemental powers now. Like, oh, this guy, instead of sand, he's lightning now. This guy, instead of fire, he's like water or ice or something. Cool. And then there's, like, a couple new bosses right at the end that are very cool, especially the final one. I was like, why are Kirby games like this? Why are Kirby games always like God of the Omnipotent Universe as your final boss? It goes weirdly hard, as they do. I had a really good time with the epilogue, and then something clicked in my brain and went, Kirby's fucking fun, huh?
Uh-huh.
So with that motivation, I immediately plowed through the rest of EX mode.
Yeah!
Because nice. Some switch had flipped, and I was like, Kirby's fucking fun. I need to play more Kirby. So I blasted through the rest of EX mode. I got 100% in that one. I did all the doodads per level. And then the final boss is hard, but I had figured out like how to kind of cheese the game by that point. Because there's one ability. One of the new abilities is called Sand, and Sand has an invincible block. So, but also, it's not just that sand has an invincible block. I think grass does too, which is in the original game. And there's also the stone ability. So it's not like this is something you can't do in the original.
Mm-hmm. I sort of didn't touch the parry, and it's true of Superstar too. Like, there's a really strong parry in Superstar that I've just kind of ignored. It seems really cute, and it also seems like a nice, like, easy challenge mode option. Is like, you can rely on this if you need it. If you don't want to, that's fine too.
Yeah. It's cute. I was definitely like, okay, let's play to win here, which is blocking everything and then doing the counter out of the sand block, which is like a huge leap into the air that has super armor. Not super armor, just invincibility. And then you get like a second to run around and block again.
Amazing.
So I had a chat with John about the final boss earlier, where final boss has three phases. As, you know, most good final bosses do.
Absolutely.
And when I was playing in the EX mode, the second phase does go so hard that I actually forgot that it wasn't the last one. So then when phase three starts, I'm like, oh, right. Oh, I do remember this part. Okay, now we're fighting the last boss. And then it ends. And I'm just like, EX mode actually didn't really change anything there for me. I think you said it's like he's faster now.
He's much faster.
He's like much faster, but the way I was playing it didn't really notice. So I did have the idea of, like, what if the third phase had been saved for EX mode?
I feel so violently strongly against this from our discussion. We talked about it, and I was like, oh, I hate that, because I think that the third phase is necessary, because here's the deal. Like, in Mario 3D World or whatnot, the final boss uses the powers that you've been using throughout the game, and it's really cool. Sonic Colors, the final boss uses the powers you've been using throughout the game, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
Those games have really cool final bosses. And then there isn't really like a mid-game point where you're like, oh, that was really cool and memorable. Mm-hmm. They save their best card for right at the end. Kirby does that. In World 5, it does that like two worlds before the end in a rules, right?
Yeah.
If you end after the second phase in the final boss, then it's not really doing anything different from what you already did in World 5. I think they need to go that one step further for it to really feel like the story has been complete. And I think if you lock that to extra mode, then you're robbing children of the complete story. Why do you have children, Red?
That's fair. I understand it. What you're saying, like, it was a great finale for the main story mode. It was more that I went like, oh, I kind of thought EX was going to add something here, because there is one huge thing that they add at one point that really caught me off guard.
It's really good.
So when they do that, when there was nothing at the end that was also added, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Still strong, though.
It's like they didn't want to save anything for EX mode. They wanted the final boss to be as cool as possible, and they didn't want to save any of that.
Both times.
I think they give you the spectacle in World 6, the extra spectacle. I think EX mode is, they didn't want to save almost any spectacle. They wanted it to just be like, this is a harder technical challenge, which again is another good reason
well, it could have been unlocked from the beginning for me and you.
Yeah. Yeah. So at that point, beating EX mode, getting 100% there. Oh, right. And then I don't remember the order, but then I did the challenge rooms. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. And they're fun. I'm not as good as them as John is.
There are platinum medals. I didn't breathe. The game, there's nothing in the game that indicates they're platinum medals. So I just was like, oh, I got the gold medals. I'm the best at Kirby. Life is good.
That is literally the same feeling back in the day when I played Star Fox 64 and you didn't realize that there was an entire other tier of metal you could get.
Killer.
That's great that there are platinum medals. I was happy with silver.
Yeah.
I got gold.
Gold feels so good, Rhett. Gotta go for those golds, Rhett. They feel so good.
I was a little winding down the game at this point. I got the silvers and was like, that's good enough. Sometimes I'd be like a couple hundred points off the gold and be like, huh, oh well.
I did the golds as I went. Like, I think I had them when I first beat I had all the golds by the time I beat the boss the first time.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense, because me saving them all for the end was a little excessive.
That's too much. Yeah. And you can only do like you can only gold a couple in a row because it takes like 20 minutes a piece.
I did like the final level, the item challenge one.
Yeah, that one's cute too.
That was a cute like kind of finale to everything. I was like, what do you mean items? I'm like, oh, right, those things.
Yep.
The items.
It's very cute.
It did remind me of the final level in Mario Wonder, but not nearly as ball busting. That one is fucking hard.
It's interesting. Like one,
that one is like every Wonder Flower power shows up again.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final one is like Invisible Mario, which is just fuck you. Invisible Mario on like floating platforms blocked by clouds. Like, it's mean.
That's really cool. The Mario Odyssey ending with like, and here's all the different capture powers in one level. It really made me think like playing 20 different, like really shallow move sets in a row isn't as cool as playing one really deep move set for the same amount of time.
Yeah. The Odyssey one I thought was not the strongest compared to like 3D World.
3D Worlds is so good.
So I played the challenge modes. I did not 100% them. But I think, like you said, as far as the game was concerned, getting one medal counts.
Okay, so you've 100%ed the main and extra games, which means the real Kirby starts here.
Yes, when you beat when you beat EX mode, the true arena unlocks. I didn't think I was going to do this. And then, I don't know, I was bored and I was just like, not even trying to attempt it was kind of like me looking at the mirror being like, pussy, just fucking try it. Just fucking try it.
Kirby's too hard for me, I guess.
So I did the arena and I did my sand power challenge, or it's nerfing, where it's just like you hang out for a while. You wait for the boss to do that dash where they dash at you and then you counter and it does a ton of damage.
Oh, shit. That's awesome.
Like, from the sand block, you can jump out of the ground and like it has a pretty big hitbox. So if one of the enemies is doing one of those attacks where they're in the background and they fly at the screen, you're going to hit them and it's going to do a lot of damage during those. It's also got a really strong up Y. So for flying enemies like the Doomers, you can just kind of shred them because it hits three times and stays around for a while. So like
every time I saw the Doomer, I laughed. Like, yeah. Oh, I guess I'm logging on to social media.
Yeah, the main repeating enemy are like Sphere Doomers.
That's their class, is Doomer.
That's really good.
Okay, Doomer. You fight like three at once in the arena. It's like,
yeah, it's fucking hard.
Could be a little scary, but
fighting multiple mini bosses at once was the thing that I felt the least like prepared for, because you can't practice it in the main game like you can all the regular bosses.
So I beat it. So I went through arena. Didn't take that long. Maybe like 20 minutes. Didn't really sweat it at all.
Yeah. Arena's fine.
So true arena in this one compared to the Wii version. I will mention, though, they add in all the bosses from the epilogue. So it's like six more bosses that you've never fought as Kirby, because
fuck yes.
In the epilogue, you're playing as Magalor.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a little intimidating. Also, they do not give you more tomatoes compared to the Wii version.
Oh.
And there's still an extra boss on top of that that isn't anywhere but the true arena.
Ah. So at this point, I'm like, okay, I'll go for this, but I'm giving it one shot. And all those items I was hoarding from the mini games I played earlier, now it's finally time to bust them out. And I didn't really abuse it. I topped off with like small energy drinks like 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I still had like 5 full heal tomatoes by the end. I didn't go crazy. I didn't need to because Sandblock is so fucking overpowered. You just wait out everything. There's one attack on the last boss that cannot be blocked. You have to run away from it. But I had already No, it's not even the laser. It's the black hole.
Oh, God. Yeah, you literally do have to run for that one.
The black hole will still suck you in.
Excellent. And there's a really good animation if that happens.
Yeah, I found that out on like the regular arena.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay, you're still eating like half your life bar if you get hit by that.
Fuck, that's funny.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. So true arena, go through it. Takes a while. You know, I'm just doing
a very
slow and safe strategy. And then like 3 from the end, there's a new boss who is only in the true arena. And he was pretty scary and hard, and I almost died. Because it's not just that it's a new boss. It's that it's a new boss that also moves in such a weird way that it really was a good counter to how I was trying mm-hmm. to play safe and keep away.
He's small and fast. He plays like he's fighting really game footsies with you.
Fucking fast. He's like he's a fighting game character.
Yep.
So my whole strategy is to just wait to the boss to get directly above me. And he's like, no, I'm going to stay like 2 steps away. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know what to do. And then second phase, it's even scarier. Music changes because goes extremely hard, but I do manage to triumph and then I heal. So then you get to the final boss of the main game and final phase from EX mode. And I beat it. And I'm like, yes, I win.
That's where it ends on the Wii game.
It's where it ends on the Wii game. I'm playing the Switch version. His life bar fills back up. And I go, I don't remember this one keep going after this point. So I beat the final boss. Life bar refills. I'm like, something's up here. And visually, it changes. The two eyes disappear entirely. There's just like a goopy ball with an eye in its mouth. It's full like cosmic horror Kirby final boss for real this time.
The thing has fully taken control at this point.
Uh-huh. The music changes. It's a new mm-hmm. track that wasn't in the original Wii game. Fuck it's from hell. Kirby Star Allies originally. It's a remix from that game.
There's lore to this. I forgot there's lore.
I'm a little scared at this point, so I'm not like super focused on the music. I'm noticing that this boss is doing new attacks. He does a big attack that's based on the robot power. That's a new one from the Switch version. And then he does a big attack based on the sand power, which is a new power from the Switch version. I go, oh, okay. They added a boss here. That I didn't know about. But back to the music. During all this, I noticed something that sounds a little weird. And I looked it up on YouTube later. And I looked it up on the Kirby Wiki for Weirdos by Weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
Is that in this music track, there's a voice mixed into it in a very haunting way. And if you listen to it, it says, Kirby, Taskite, help me.
Oh my god.
Brilliant.
As John said, it is the creature, the cosmic horror, 100% taking over. There's nothing left of what was originally there. It's a crazy fucking moment.
This rips.
So, I got my EX mode final boss. They just put it at the end of the true arena. Yeah. They took this Wii game and said, You're right, Rhett. We could have gone one step further here. We could have just done a little bit more. We're gonna fix this 10-year plus error.
Just for you.
And go just for me to go really, really extra right at the end.
It was already like Kamiya game extra. It's already so nuts.
Doing that at the end of the fucking true arena is nuts. It's
so metal. That rips. What a good remake. The first good Switch remake. Finally.
So after that, I was like, okay, I'm done. I got my moment. I can't imagine a higher moment to end on than that.
Yeah.
So that's
100% crown clear.
That's Kirby's Return to Dreamland Deluxe.
Wow.
The first game came out in 2011. Kirby's been fucking rad for 15 years. Kirby's been fucking metal as hell for 15 years. No one told us. No, they're just like, Robobot's really good. They're all good. Probably. Hopefully. Fuck.
It is funny when a lot of the specific moments that I liked about this one were exclusive to the Switch version, though.
I know. And I still had such a ball, though.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Oh, I just couldn't believe it when I looked up that voice thing in the final boss and go, oh my god, lore.
God. I think my high I was getting from the action stuff because I just drilled on all the bosses and I got to the point where I it didn't take me that many tries, but like I dropped a save state in front of the new boss in the true arena and I just practiced him so I actually really dug deep on the patterns. Mm-hmm. So then that was kind of the high I got at the end of true arena was like, fucking executed. And then you got this insane spectacle that they added for this Switch version.
It
made us both so happy.
Exactly. Like they did the technical one for you and they did the spectacle one for me. I looked up a video of somebody fighting this boss on YouTube with just default Kirby and took like 7 minutes. It looked very hard.
Yeah, I beat all the bosses with default Kirby. The true arena took like 25 to 30 minutes and I was without all the new bosses.
Yeah. I know. I was like, okay, I'm cheesing it, but I am doing it on real hardware.
Yeah.
John dropped a save state.
I got to drop a save state. So I feel like it evens out.
Yeah. It kind of evened out.
Yep. The point is, we both played Return to Dreamland and immediately 100%ed both normal and extra mode and did the true arena because it's so fucking good. Mm-hmm. I can't believe you played all of you heard me talk about this, played all of Forgotten Land, dumped back to this one, and then still liked it enough to do both playthroughs and all the extra shit.
That's crazy.
It's a good fucking game.
Yeah.
Kirby rips.
Kirby's pretty good.
Kirby's pretty good. Polly, do you want to have a Kirby era?
I think I have to. Like, I've got to play Forgotten Land at some point. It's just sitting there on my stand. I literally looked over at my stand right now. It's sitting in front of my Switch. So it's just like,
waiting calling for you.
We've got to keep the streak alive, man.
Yeah, that one's really good, too. I think I would lean towards Deluxe now.
Yeah, I mean, just
from, after all this.
Yeah, like this is insane.
After an entire podcast segment for post game.
Just a post game. I've
never done that.
That's got it. Yeah, that's got to be a first.
I just want to play all of them. I'm going to do triple deluxe before too long.
Nice.
It's kind of like I felt the same way finishing Return to Dreamland as I did finishing the first Gunvolt. Where I was just like, "Oh shit." 5 really good platformers I get to play. This rules.
Yep.
Nice.
Good feeling.
So yeah, that's what I've been up to.
That's, man, yeah. I got
still contribute. Playing Underline.
Yeah, yeah. How's that treating you? How many endings?
42, I think. Hey,
you're almost there. You're almost there.
To halfway.
We're a little over halfway through the year, and you're a little over halfway through 100 line. Which is going to arrive first?
My playtime is inflated because I do idle a lot, but that is halfway is a scary thing for something I have over 100 hours in.
Oh my god. That's insane.
The route I did yesterday was like one of my favorites, and of course it was by far the shortest. It's the one time I was like, oh, you had an editor this time. You didn't have to.
Yeah, I would have taken more of this.
This was a really fun one.
Incredible.
Video games, they can be good sometimes, and sometimes they can be bad. We've learned a lot in this episode of the Sox Cast.
Just like anime, just like Gotcha.
Just right. Yep. There you go. There you go. There's the duality of everything. We should just be centrists and say that everything can be good and bad. Let's just sit on the fence.
Y'all, I put down Arknights and immediately started Super Mario RPG, which I've never played to the end with Cecile. And we're like 2/3 through and it fucking rips. It's just like going straight from Arknights, from Gotcha, to the really good 90s Square RPG.
Really
funny.
Delightful. A delightful RPG on top of
that. Pure joy.
Yeah, that game is just like sugar in video game form. It's so lovely and delightful.
Much better than Arknights.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, are we done? Have we done Independence Day? Have we done our due diligence on Independence Day?
Happy right. Fourth.
Happy Fourth indeed. Not that this will be releasing like next Monday, but you know. Anyway, we're going to get out of here now. So thank you so much for listening. As always, John, could you tell the internet folks at home where they might be able to find you?
Farawaytimes.itch.io. I'm posting reviews on my blog a lot lately. It's been really fun.
I've noticed you've been writing a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I remember
feels
when
really
I
good.
Did that.
Just felt like things were backed up in my head and I got a bunch of it out.
Oh, yeah. Good. When you've not podcasted for a month, the thoughts just kind of well up. It's like, shit, they got to go somewhere. They got to go somewhere. They got to go somewhere. Rhett.
Analyst.co/user/Rhett.
Nice.
I forgot. I've been watching a show called Apocalypse Hotel. It's really good.
That is by Cygames as well, is it not?
It's an anime original, though.
Yeah,
it's
that's like an anime original by Cygames.
Which is weird. It's like, what if Planetarium wasn't so depressing?
Oh. Yeah, this one's on
it's
my
about a robot
list.
Girl and there's no humans.
Yeah, I want to watch this one.
It's really sweet so far.
You can find me at anywhere, really. I'm around. You know where I'm at. So, with that, we will catch you next time. Thanks again so much. And remember, we are the podcast that loves you. We're the only ones. They love you.